So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 today. We're going to break this chapter down. We're going to break it down into three sections, and we're going to start from the end and then work our way back to the front. So we'll go chapter 5, starting with verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love that you showed for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. So Lord, those of us who know you, may we rejoice in the goodness of your grace, and may we always lift high the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, they have never confessed their faith and trust in you, that you would speak to their heart, Lord, and that today they would call upon your great name. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, throughout history, you know, there's some songs that always connect with you, that as soon as you hear it, you know what it is. Sitcoms, the beginning openings of different shows, that as soon as you hear it, you immediately know what it is. And I'd say that this song right here, you'll immediately know. You can join in and sing along if you want to, but see if you know what this is. There we go. Y'all doing good.
They're creepy and they're kooky.
You know what?
Mysterious and spooky. They're all together kooky. The Addams Family.
There we go.
Their house is a museum where people come to see them. They really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet.
You're very good. I'm going to be a choir director. That's good. Go. Close that down. The Addams Family, right? You know, we have some unique characters there, right? Gomez and Morticia. Wednesday and unique characters there. Uncle Fester. I mean, who cannot love Uncle Fester? Wasn't he a good character? You had Uncle Fester. You had Grandmama there. The butler, who was he? Lurch. And then you had Thing and Cousin It. Didn't realize they were so progressive, but we... It is a sitcom of a messed up family, right? I mean, you look at the Addams Family and you think they look strange, right? people are scared of them. It's like, ooh, look, they live in a spooky mansion. They live next to a graveyard. And everybody who comes to the door, they're afraid of them. But then when you get the chance to start knowing the Addams family, they're very loving, you know. They love their family, love their kids, and they're outgoing. They typically are very helpful, and they want to help people. And you start thinking that, boy, the Addams family, they kind of remind me of me. And you start thinking, I look a lot like the Addams family. And the truth is that we all are part of the Addams family. We're just a bunch of folks that look strange to other people. Have you ever seen a family and thought, they're a strange family? Huh? Anybody? Well, have you ever thought maybe somebody's looking at your family and going, they're a strange family? Right? They're a strange family. And what Paul says here in Romans chapter 5 is that we are all part of the Adam family. And the reason why everything is messed up and everything, the reason why life is a mess and there's chaos all around us, there's wars, there's destruction, there's natural disasters, there's diseases, people treating people the way that they shouldn't, you know, murder, violence, all of these things. It's because we're all part of one big messed up family called the Adam family, the first man, Adam. And so he compares Jesus with Adam. So you have the first man, Adam, and then he's going to talk about you have the last man, Adam. And in the first man, Adam, man, we're in a family of dysfunction. And the reason why we're in so much dysfunction, he says, is because of sin. Because one man's sin, the effect of sin impacted all of humanity. We are all one big race. There's only one race, the human race. We're all related, whether you like it or not, and we're all a mess, right? And it's Adam. He says, sin reigned from Adam. We know the story. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They have the choice to can eat from all of the trees of the garden, except there's one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat of it, you will surely what? Die. And what they did was they chose to trust in themselves rather than God. They made the choice of what is right and what is good. And didn't listen to God, and they rebelled against God, claimed their independence from God, rebelled against him, and sin entered the world. How do we know that? Because from Adam until Moses, right? He said because sin reigned even up until Moses. Now, Moses received the law, and Paul had talked about how the law, the purpose of the law was to reveal to us that we were lawbreakers, that we were sinners. He said, but yet sin still reigned from Adam until Moses before the law was even put in practice. How do we know that? Because men what? They died. And through sin, it brought death. Because all have sinned. If you read Genesis, you have a section of genealogies, where it begins breaking down the genealogies of Adam. And as you go through and you start reading these genealogies, it talks about Adam. He, you know, he was the father of so-and-so, and he lived this many years. And then it will say, he died. And then Seth, he was the father of so-and-so, and he lived this many years, and he died. And it goes through this whole generation, and the one reoccurring emphasis is, and they died. And they died. And they died. Why? Because of sin. Sin leads to death. Sin breaks that relationship with God. Sin cost them paradise. Sin separated from them from their Creator. And sin was a destroyer and brought death. And so I made a little chart as we walk this through. So in Adam, the Adam family. Okay, this is the first Adam family. So in the Adam family, sin brought what? Death. Our trespass, he says, our offense against God brought condemnation. It made us sinners. That's the family we're all born into. Because you are born into the human race, you are born into the Adam family. Adam is our federal headship. He represents all mankind. And because he sinned, we all sin. We inherit a sin nature, and sin, it leads to death, and our trespasses leads to condemnation, and we are made sinners. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is beginning to talk about the resurrection of the dead. There is a question and confusion about how are we going to be raised from the dead? How's that work? What's our bodies like? Is there a resurrection from the dead? All these questions they were having, and Paul's trying to correct some questions and answer some questions, and he compares Adam, the first Adam, with Jesus, which he refers to as the last Adam. And he says the first man, Adam, was sown with a perishable body, meaning that his body was going to perish, sown in dishonor. This is our bodies. This is every person, every human that's born around the whole world is sown in dishonor, weakness, a natural body. It says Adam, when he was made from the dust of the earth and God breathed life into him, he became a living being. He was from earth. He was from the dust. And then he compares that with Jesus, the last Adam, the Jesus family. And in the Jesus family, he gives us some categories of that. Go to the Jesus family slide. That it is the grace of God then produces what? Life. It is a free gift that produces justification and causes us to be made righteous. Now, Jesus, he's talking about his resurrected body and his body, the last Adam, says he was raised imperishable with glory, power, a spiritual body. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, and he was from heaven. So if we can put those two together, we compare it, and it looks like this. That in the Adam family, we have sin that leads to death, but in the Jesus family, or in the last Adam family, it's the grace of God that leads to life. In the Adam family, and humanity, and all of the human race, we have trespassed, and that brings condemnation to every man and woman, but the free gift of God, salvation, brings what? Justification, means that we have been declared not guilty. In the human race, we are made sinners, but in God's family, we are made righteous. In the first man, Adam, we have a perishable body, but in the last man, Adam, we will be raised with an imperishable body. In the first Adam, we're sown in dishonor, but in the last Adam, we're sown in glory. In the first Adam, in weakness. In the last Adam, power. In the first Adam, a natural body. In the last Adam, a spiritual body. In the first Adam, became a life-giving being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was from the earth. The last Adam was from heaven. Therefore, Paul says this, just as we bear resemblance of the first man, Adam, being born in the human race, then those who are in Christ Jesus, or we could say those who are born again, those who are born into the family of God, then have been made a new creation that we will receive the moment when we die, when Jesus returns and we're resurrected and we receive a glorified body. It'll be a spiritual body that will be imperishable, that will be raised in power and glory, and so we shall represent and be in the image bearers of Christ, that just as his body, as he rose from the grave, we will receive a glorified body like him. Now that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of Christ, that Jesus came so that we might be born into a new family. Aren't you glad there is a way out of the Adam family? Huh? Aren't you glad that we don't have to be stuck in the Adam family and all the mess and all the dysfunction and all the sin and all the corruption that we see going on around us each and every day? All of the effects of sin, but we can be birthed into a new family and we can be part of God's family. That's the good news. We must never forget what Jesus has done for us. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you know the Lord, if you've been saved, if you are a Christian, man, you must always remember the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, and never take your salvation for granted. We're Jesus people, folks. We worship Jesus. We lift high the name of Jesus. It's because of him that we've been saved. It's because of him that we get to be adopted into a new family. We don't have to remain in the first Adam family. We can be adopted into the last Adam family, the Jesus family. We can be free from the curse and the sin that so easily entangles us, the scripture says. Now, how are we brought into a new family? How can we go from being in the Adam family to being born into the last Adam family? Well, let's go to verse 6, chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, at the God-appointed time, that when Jesus was going to come and die for our sin, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the who? The ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. Let's just stop right there. He's starting to bring us to the point of where the amazing love of God, and we know this from Truth Right Clock. It's very rare that someone's going to give their life up for someone, right? Now, you may be willing to die for someone you love and know and care about, right? Okay, that's the point he's trying to make, is that, you know, most people aren't going to die for someone. They're not going to give their life up so that someone else can live. That's rare. It's possible, you know, it's possible, and it's happened, where someone will give their life up for someone that they love and they care about. But I want you to capture verse 8. Do not overlook verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his what? Blood. What does justified mean? Being declared not guilty. How are we declared not guilty? By his blood. By the blood of Jesus, we've been purchased. By the blood of Jesus, we are his. That's why Paul can say, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has purchased us, made us righteous, justified us. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, now that we have been saved, he says, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, when we look at that, those verses, we see who we are, like in Adam. So in Adam, there's some man's position in Adam looks like this. So man's position in Adam is weak, ungodly, sinners, and enemies. Now, in Adam, Which family are we all born into? The Adam family, right? We're all born into the Adam family and all of its dysfunction and all of its sin and all of the destruction. And we are considered weak, ungodly sinners who are enemies of God. That's not a good place to be in, is it? That's not very comforting to know. Weak, ungodly sinners, enemies of God. That enemies of God means we've declared war against God. We've said, I don't need you, God. I can live this life on my own. Now, I want you to hear something amazing. Don't ever overlook the amazing love of God. Don't ever overlook that. I know we have pastors today that like to tell you that you can't tell sinners that God loves them. But look at this group. Weak, ungodly, sinners, enemies of God. Now, look at what the scripture says there in 1 John. In 1 John 4:9, it says this: in this, the love of God was made manifest, was declared, was clearly seen among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Aren't you glad of that? Don't you see the amazing love of God? What the Bible says is that even when we were weak, even when we were ungodly, even when we were sinners, and even when we were enemies of God, this is the love of God. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, God died. Jesus died for us. He sent his Son to die for us. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Paul says there in Romans 5:8 that Jesus, that his love for us was that he died while we were yet sinners or enemies of God. Isn't that amazing? That God would love us in spite of the fact that we were his enemy. That we were ungodly. That he didn't just leave us in the Adam family. He could have left us there. But his love said, I'm going to redeem them. Not that we loved God. Did you catch that? God didn't save us because we loved him. God didn't save us because we had it all together. God didn't save us because of our education and our influence and because of what we had. But we didn't love God. It was God who what? Loved us. And how do we know he loved us? What's the Bible say? He sent his Son to die for us. If you want to know what God's love for the world looks like, you look to the cross. If you want to ever know if God loves you, look to the cross. It cost his Son. So that while we were ungodly, weak sinners who were enemies of God, who deserved the wrath of God, God said, I'm going to send my Son. And on the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God that we deserved was poured out upon him so that we might be made the righteousness of God. I tell you, I don't know anything sweeter than that. We're Jesus people, folks. We worship Jesus. We lift high the name of Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus that we're saved. It's by the name of Jesus that we've been forgiven. It's because of his death, burial, and resurrection. It's because of him. We worship a risen Savior. We worship Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of all, the King of kings, the one who is returning, the one who made the foundations of the earth, the one who holds all things together, the one that we worship. His name is Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. What Paul is writing is not universalism. He's not saying since one man died and we all became sinners, and because one man died for sin, then everybody's going to be made righteous. Now, there are some churches that teach that, and there are some people who believe that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, you're going to be okay. Now, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asked him, how can one inherit eternal life, what did he say? You must be what? Born again. Now, let me ask you this question. How are we a part of the first Adam family? We're born into it. The fact that we are a human and a descendant of Adam, we are born into the human race, humanity. Therefore, humanity, we are made sinners. Okay, so how do you get into God's family then? You have to be what? You have to be born into it. You have to be born again. And so Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, or meaning born from above, right? Because the first man's from the earth, the last man's from heaven, and we're going to resemble the last man because Jesus came to make all things new and to bring forgiveness of sin. And so if we're going to be in the last Adam, we have to be born into the family. We have to be born again. We have to be saved. And so it's not enough just to be sincere in any religion you want to choose and pick from. It's not enough just to be a good person because, you know, you look at the Addams family and you think, you know, they were kooky and spooky and all that stuff, but they weren't that bad of people. And I'm telling you, majority of Americans think that you don't have to recognize Jesus as Lord, that you can just have any type of faith you want to. As long as you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. That's not the case. That's not the case. In order to go to heaven, in order to be saved, in order to be made righteous, you have to be born again into this family, the Jesus family. That's why the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, men must be saved. No other name under heaven where men must be saved, but at the name of Jesus. For every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who died for your sin? Jesus. Who rose again? Jesus. Who do we worship? Jesus. We magnify Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We worship him. Don't ever forget that, church. Who's your God? We worship Jesus. We lift high the name of Jesus. It's because of Jesus we've been saved. It's because of God's amazing love that we have been saved. We've been caused to be born again by the grace of an almighty God who loved us and he sent his son for us. You say, so we're saved. What should that produce? Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, Jesus, we have also what? Obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been what? Given to us. Now, what should knowing that we have been born into the family of God, what kind of emotions and what's reality should excite us is this: that we have what? Peace with God. Go to the next slide, please. Peace with God. In Christ, we have peace with God. We have what? Access to God, hope in God, and the love of God. Now, how much is the peace of God worth to you? Where can you go buy that at? Can you go to Walmart? Be like, where's the peace of God? I'm looking for that. You got any of that on the shelf? Can't buy that. Man, I tell you, look at what's going on around us in the world. You know, what's going on in Ukraine right now? Lady in her church, she's got family that lives there. Okay. She just told me this morning that they're having everyone up to age 60, listen, up to age 60, enlist in the army. And even the women who are pregnant. That's how bad it is. They're fighting for their freedom, Americans. They don't want communism or socialism. While we sit over here in our ivory towers and we applaud socialism. The world is messed up. You know, when I hear wars, when I hear of natural disasters and the diseases and all of that, you know what that just reminds me of? That this world is not my home. And this world is under the curse of sin. And there will never be peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes his kingdom. But I've got peace with God even in the midst of chaos, because I know that no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be okay. No matter what sufferings, no matter what persecutions, no matter what may come my way, in Christ, I have peace with God. I have peace with God, and I have access to God. That means I can pray to God. How many of y'all are excited to know that as a believer, because I am in the last Adam family, now I have Jesus as my great high priest, and he intercedes on my behalf, and I can pray and cry out to a God who hears me when I pray. I have access to God. Before, I didn't. Right? Because I was an enemy of God. I was weak and I had no power. But now that I am a child of God, I have access to God. I can pray to him. I have hope in God. I have hope. I don't know how you look at the world and you're as an unbeliever and have any hope. I don't see how you do it. But when I look through the eyes of faith, when I look through the last Adam and his family, man, I have hope. I have hope in God. I know that he has all things under control, even when it looks like in the first Adam family everything's out of control. I know that he's still on the throne and he's not shocked. He's not surprised. There's nothing taking him off guard. He's in complete control. And I have hope and peace and rest in that. How many of y'all say amen? And then the love of God. The love of God, he says, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. His love in us, flowing through us. That we are to be people who acknowledge Jesus, worship Jesus, live for Jesus, and honor him. because he is the king and he is the Lord. You say, well, so how do I get into this family? How can I be born again? How can I have a born again experience? Well, Paul in Romans chapter 10, he lays this out for us. He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. Is that what he says? You could be saved. No, let's read it. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who what? Call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad that we've got news for the world that's just as good as those of us who live in America, as those who live in Ukraine, China, Japan, Africa, Australia? There is one God, one Lord, one Savior of all the world, just like mankind is born in the first Adam, and it's sin and it's disease and it's destruction. So the last man, Adam, came and died on a cross to be made righteousness for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And every single person who calls upon the name of the Lord and believes and trusts in him is made righteous. Man, that's good news. It's like, so what's the greatest need for humanity? I mean, man, I'd love to have, you know, be great to have world peace. Be great to have, you know, where you didn't have to, no sickness, disease. That'd be wonderful. But in the first Adam family, we're under a curse. So what's the greatest need for humanity is that they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and be born again so that they can be in the last Adam family. Now, what does it mean, you know, to confess and believe? Now, we've got to make a distinction, because here is where you get lost church people. It's not enough just to have a mental belief of who Jesus is. It's not enough just to have head knowledge. Yeah, I believe Jesus died, and I believe he rose again. James says this: you believe there's one God? Well, good. Even the devils believe and tremble. So just you mentally saying, I believe Jesus is Lord, just mentally, that just puts you in the category of the demons. Okay? You see, you can know about someone and not know them. I know a lot of you have Snapchats, you've got Instagrams, you've got whatever's out there, Twitter and all this stuff, and you follow people. And I'm sure some of you follow some famous people. Does anybody ever follow some famous people? Anybody follow famous people? Okay. Now, do you have their cell phone number, by the way? Oh, you mean they didn't give you their personal number? You follow them. When's the last time you've talked to them personally? Huh? Now, well, I thought you were a follower of them. Now, let me ask you, may know about them, but let me ask you this question. You think they know anything about you? No. You see, there's a difference. You see, you can know about Jesus and not know Jesus. You can go to church your whole life. You can answer all of the Sunday school questions, but yet not have a heart transformation. For it's not enough just to confess with your mouth. You must believe in your heart. It has to be something inward, not just outward. It has to come within. You have to have faith. Faith to believe that I trust this with everything of my being. I'm going to throw my whole life into it. And I believe that Jesus is the only way. I'm not banking on any other philosophy. I'm not banking on my education. I'm not banking on any other religion out there. I trust in Jesus. I'm going to stand and die in the faith in Jesus. It's a faith that has action. It's a faith that demonstrates itself just like every single one of you all. Man, you all walked in here with so much faith in these blue chairs. It was impressive. You know? I mean, it's pretty impressive how confident you were. Because I didn't once see anybody walk in here and kick the legs. Let's see here. Yep, I believe it will hold me. And then sit down. What'd you all do? I tell you what, y'all walked in here so confident. And you just plopped right on down. As if you knew that chair was going to hold you. Confidence in who Jesus is. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God to take away the sin of the world. I believe it so much that I'm putting all my weight in the Jesus chair. I say, Jesus, my life is in your hands. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want to say, I'll say. I'm yours. I'm following you. I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting in anything or in anyone else. I believe in you. And so that when I die, all of my hope and faith is in you. Now, let me ask you this one final question. Those of you who are here with us and those even watching with us on Facebook Live. Which family are you in? Are you in the first Adam family? Or are you in the last Adam family? Because the answer to that question has eternal consequences. If you die in the first Adam family, you will die as an enemy and a sinner who is weak and ungodly. And the wrath of God will fall upon you. But if you die in the last Adam family, you will die as the redeemed, righteousness child of God. If you were to die today, if you were to breathe your last breath today, do you know for certain that heaven would be your home? If you don't, I would make sure of that. And I would call upon the name of the Lord. And I would believe in my heart that Jesus died and he rose again for my sin. Let's pray. Lord Jesus.